take the hymn books. We're going to do the praising, and then I give the welcome just after we get connected. Number 50, number 3, and number 4, 61. Let's praise the Lord with all our heart as the people coming in and sit in our church and take their place. And then later on, when we are on the air, I give the welcome and all the details. I'm glad you are here, and I'm glad for those who, in about 5 minutes, will listen to our broadcast directly from here, all over the South and all over the central part of California. And I thank the Lord for those who listen to us across America through the Via Tei ministry. Number 50, and then number, the bulletin said number 50, number 3, and number 461. If you don't have a bulletin, will you raise your hand? We have good soldiers. Everybody have a bulletin, is that right? I want you to have, here's a gentleman here, Brother Wayne. Here's a gentleman who don't have a bulletin. And we like the people from New York, brothers, so there's no, $5? No, he's a guest from New York. You be quiet. All right, number 50, please. Let's sing together.
Thank you.
scripture for this morning is found in Psalm 30, verse 11 and verse 12. God wrote these words, "You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever." What a beautiful expression of a heart like David, just a heart like you and mine. When he turned to God, he really blessed God. We, the people at Bethel Baptist Church, are very happy that you are here this morning. We also very happy that you are listening through KKMC, AAB, and AM dial. And we welcome you to our broadcast. And also we welcome those, our friends across America, who listen through the tape ministry. And today I can say we welcome those in the internet as you type www.kkmc.com. And I know that many friends have called already this morning to the church office to turn on in the internet across the world. So now they can listen to our service at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time in California, about 8 hours on the a.m. Standard Time in London. And you will listen clearly with digital sound to the internet, the voice of Bethel Baptist Church. Thank God for his great discoveries. God made these discoveries, and from time to time, he gave us knowledge of how to use the airwaves. Praise God for that. We're going to look to the Lord in prayer in a moment. But once again, if you are new with us, you who are in the auditorium can take just a little time to cut the church bulletin and register. And if you are listening in radio, you can do as well and send us a note to the church office here in P.O. Box 100, Morgan Hill, California, 95038-0100. And we will be glad to know that you listen to our broadcast. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you in prayer and with thanksgiving because you gave us the opportunity to present the gospel and to open the doors of Bethel Baptist Church and to, oh Father, proclaim that Jesus is Lord and Savior and proclaim that through him mankind can receive life everlasting, and through him we can have participation in the kingdom of God, a life of security and peace on this earth, an eternal life and the life to come. Father, we also pray for our missionaries, our brother Carol Lewis, as he prepared his daughter to be alone here in America, and then he prepared himself to go back into Ukraine. Our brother Not with his wife, Carol, as she and he serve in Huasca, Spain, northern Spain. Our good brother Eusebio and Marisa Perez, as they serve in southern Spain in the beautiful city of Benalmadena. And Father, for our South Valley Pregnancy Care Center here in town, and for their great project and ambition to go into the city of Gilroy and open a place of refuge for those who are in need of God and in need physically and mentally. And Father, for Ruben and Irene Zachert, as they keep on working in the city of Lodi, California, with the Spanish-speaking people. Father, we have people who are sick. We pray for Richard Salinas, Lord, that continues with his sickness. We want to get ahead of Victor Lawrence's father's surgery and pray, Lord, that it will be a success and that this will bring him closer to you, and that Victor or someone may have the opportunity to bring Jesus to him. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Father, we also pray for those who are sick. I don't know, but there are some members of the church that perhaps are sick and they are home. And there are many listeners who are in wheelchairs and they cannot get away. And we pray for the comfort of God and the peace of God in their heart. And later on, Father, at 2:30, we go to minister to a place where people are in wheelchairs, all of them. But Father, how gracious it is to bring to them the hope, the only hope that we have. It is no medicine. It is the healing of our soul, Jesus our Lord. And Father, we pray that our choir may praise you from the heart, that the reading of God's word be a blessing to our life. And then when the exposition comes, I pray today that the word of God may give us hope and strength. Bless us as we fellowship, and above all, as we participate in this fellowship with our offering, we pray that you may bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
indeed, God's grace is marvelous and amazing. Thank you, choir. We ask you now to take your Bible and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 800. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, John chapter 21, verses 1 through 11. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, our Father, we thank you that we can again come before you in prayer and worship because of the finished work and righteousness of Jesus Christ that has been put to our account. That righteousness we possess now by faith alone in him who justified us. Not because of anything we have done, for we are not righteous, not even one of us. We thank you for this great salvation that when we were ignorant and wholly without merit, you had mercy on us, regenerated us by the power of your word, solely because of your graciousness, brought us from our natural state of spiritual death to spiritual life, and gave us the gift of faith. We pray for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, that as he brings the teaching today from the Gospel of John, both here and on the radio, that we would bless him and give us understanding and love for the lost, that we would be obedient to the commands of Christ. There are some listeners who don't know you. We pray that you would give them ears to hear so that they and we would take seriously the gravity of the words of our Lord, that he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes not, who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We ask these things in his name who created the universe and who alone is worthy of all glory and honor. Amen. Please be seated.
My text for the meditation this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verse 7, within the paragraph of this drama story that our brother read for us. Reading from the New King James Version, the scripture said this, Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, like an overcoat. He was dressed, but he put his overcoat on him, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea in direction to the Lord. My theme this morning is when you and I let God down. Don't tell me you never did it. You're a liar if you say that. When you and I let God down. We're going to look in the passage. We're going to work in this passage. It's a beautiful one. I've cried more than one time. I remember the day I cried very hard when I read this passage in Spanish. It was in January 28th in 1973 when I read for the first time over the air the greatest story of Jesus and Peter. We're going to divide our thoughts in two ways. First, there's a lot of background here that you need to know, so that you understand Peter. I want you to understand Peter. And I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Peter, if necessary. The first background is the geographical location. Look in verse 1. After these things, John Gospel 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Do you know where the Sea of Tiberias is? Just turn your Bible to John Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 1, and you will know where the Sea of Tiberias really is. If you have a modern version of the Bible, they change the name there, but the original said the Sea of Tiberias. But now the Sea of Tiberias is located where? Here it is, John Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. So the Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. Scenario of the life of Jesus, familiar with everyone involved in the area. And then verse 1 tells us also a remarkable statement about these. The Bible said in John 21, verse 1, the things that are narrated here happen in the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. Now, you know that in chapter 20, Jesus showed himself resurrected to the disciples and showed himself to Thomas. And the Thomas had the opportunity to put his hand on his side and so on. And then Thomas had the opportunity to be converted. He said, "My Lord," to Jesus, "and my God." All right? Now, after the things, after he showed himself to the disciples, then the Bible said he went to the Sea of Galilee. And look at what the Bible said in verse 1. "And in this way, he showed himself." Now, the remainder of the scripture, the reminder of the scripture, verses 2 to 11, is the scenario and the way that Jesus showed to his disciples. So it's very well written in Greek. The Greek people tells you where they are, where they write, and they tell you why they write in the second sentence, and then they write about it. Very well done in the Greek language. And so here is the scenario. We're going to be together in the scenario. And let's see if I can paint with words these scenarios so that I can make you to live the moment. In order to do so, I'm going to go into the life of Jesus like a surgeon will do into your body and go into the details here and there so that you can see for moments the flashing life of Peter in the moment that is here. We need it. Believe me, we need it. Just talking about Peter in this scenario, Peter had run. He had turned his back on his dear friend and run away from Jesus. We don't know where, but Peter may not have known where he ran. He found a hole, or perhaps a hut, an abandoned shed. He found a place to hide, and he did. Peter went away from the Lord. Now, I want you to know who Peter was. If you turn to Matthew 26 and in verse 23, you know that Peter had bragged about himself with the Lord. Matthew 26 and verse 33. Look at what Peter said to Jesus in Matthew 26 and in verse 33. Everyone else may stumble, but I will not, said Peter. You see that? I'm just paraphrasing the text. Everyone else may stumble. Everyone may fail, Jesus, but I will not. Yet he did. Peter did what he swore he will not do it. He have tumbled face first into the pit of his own fear. And there he sat. All he could hear was his hollow promise. I'm very sure. Everyone may stumble, but I will not. Everyone else may go wrong, but I will not. I will not, he said. A whir raged within the fisherman's heart. I'm very sure. At that moment, the instinct of survive collided with his alliance to Jesus. And just for a moment, the alliance to Jesus really won. Peter stood and stepped out of his hiding and followed the noise till he saw the torch-lit jury in the court yard of Caiaphas. Remember? He denied the Lord, but he followed until Jesus went into the courtyard. You remember this story? He stood near the fire, and even he warmed his hand. The fire sparkled with irony. The night had been cold. The fire was hot, but Peter was neither hot or cold. He was a lukewarm person looking to Jesus. Look at in the Gospel of Luke, how Luke described 3 or 4 days before the incident of John 21. And Luke Gospel chapter 22, we have a great description of what I'm saying to you, so that you know the background of this man called Peter. You know what he went through. And the Gospel of Luke in chapter 22. And if you look in verse 54, the Bible said to us Peter followed at a distance from Jesus. You notice? Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. That was Caiaphas' house. But Peter followed a distance. Now remember, this is 3 or 4 days before John 21. He was loyal, but just at a distance. That night, he went close enough to see, but not close enough to be seen. That's what he thought. The problem was that Peter, and hold your hand in Luke 22, Peter was seeing other people near the fire recognize Peter. You were with him, they said. You were with a Nazarene. Three times people said it, and each time Peter denied it. And each time that he did it, Jesus heard it. Let me read it for you because it's very serious. Very serious. Verse 55 in Luke 22. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Can you imagine that? And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." Him is Jesus. Now look at in verse 57. "But he denieth him, saying, Woman, I do not know him." Now that's the man who said, if everybody else stumble, I will not. Just a tiny little girl say, "Hey, you with Jesus?" "Oh, no, forget it." Verse 58. "And after a little while, another saw him and said, You also are of them. And Peter said, Man, I am not." Verse 59. "Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I do not know what you are talking about. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed." Now, please, look verse 61. "And the Lord turned and looked at Peter." Peter followed the Lord at a distance. Peter get closer, thinking that nobody will see him. He is identified, and other people challenge him. Three times he denied the Lord. And now, to make this really rough, the last time he said, "No, I don't know him," he looks around, and the Lord, who was right there in the jury, he looked to Jesus, and the eyes of the Lord and the eyes of Jesus clicked together. Don't tell me that 3 or 4 days after, in John 21, Peter maybe is not thinking about the fish, is not thinking about the boat, and his heart is the eyes of the Lord looking to him in the Nile. A man who has stood and said, "I will not do it," now he has in his heart the penetrating eyes of the Lord. That's what I want to talk to you about when we let the Lord down. Now, I want you to understand, please understand, that the main character in this drama of the Nile is not Peter, but Jesus. Jesus, who knows the heart of all people. He knew the denial of his friends. He told ahead. Three times the salt of Peter's betrayal stung in the wounds of the Messiah. How do I know Jesus knew? Because of what he did. Remember in Luke Gospel, in chapter 61, "Then the Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. When the rooster crowed, Jesus turned. His eyes searched for Peter and found him eye to eye." You know, at that moment, there were no soldiers, no accusers, and no priests. At that pre-dawn moment in Jerusalem, there were only two people: Jesus and Peter, looking to each other. I believe with all my heart that Peter never forget that look. Though Jesus' face was already, remember, bloody and bruised, his eyes were firm and focused on Peter. They were a scope laying bare Peter's heart. They were penetrating the heart of Peter. Though the look just last only few seconds, really, I believe, lasts for his life and his heart. And now we come to John 21. The day later, just one day later from this incident, on the Sea of Galilee. Peter is still scared to death. It wasn't the resurrection that occupied his thoughts. It wasn't the empty tomb. It wasn't the defeat of death. It was the eyes of Jesus seeing his failure. See, we never feel afraid of anything until we see how fragile we are. Peter knew the failure very well. He has seen this before, you know. In fact, I want to call your attention because he has seen them on the same very lake in another occasion. This wasn't the first time that Peter had spent on the Sea of Galilee. You know, he was a fisherman. He, like the others, worked at night. He knew the fish will feed near the surface during the cool of the night and return to the deep during the day. No, this wasn't the first night Peter had spent on the Sea of Galilee, nor was it the first night he had caught nothing. Turn your Bible to Luke Gospel chapter 5, and you will see what I'm talking about. There was that time 3 years before. Luke Gospel in chapter 5. Look at it in verses 1 to 5. So it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, him as Jesus, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Verse 3 in Luke 5. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stood speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now look at verse 5. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Let me bring the scenario in words that you will understand. Most mornings, Peter and his partners would sell their fish and repair their nets and head home to rest with a bag of money and a feeling of satisfaction. This particular morning, in Luke 5, there was no money, and there was no satisfaction. They had worked all through the night, said the scripture, but had nothing to show for it except weary backs and worn nets. And what's worse, everyone knew it. Every morning the shore will become like a market, as the people in the village will come to buy their fish. But that day, there were no fish. Jesus was there that morning, and he was teaching people. As the people pressed, and there were too many people, there was little room for him to stand and speak to the people. That's what the scripture said. And so he asked Peter if his boat could be borrowed as a platform. And Peter agreed, maybe thinking the boat might as well be used for something good. That night, the boat catch nothing. Now, the Bible, remember, said that Peter listened to Jesus. It is good to hear something other than just the waves coming in up and down. When Jesus finished, with the crowd, talking to the crowd. He turns to Peter. Remember the scripture in verse 5? He has another request for Peter. Not only to use the boat. Look at what he said. He wants to go fishing. And in verse 4, he said, can we take the boat and go into the deep water and put your nets in the water to catch some fish? Now remember, they've been the whole night and they got nothing. And now it's during daytime, and during daytime you do not fish. The fish are too deep. Peter groans. I'm very sure that Peter said, what this guy knows? The last thing he wants to do is go fishing. Listen, the boat is already clean. The nets are ready to be dry. The sun is up and he is super tired. It is time to go home. Beside this, everyone is watching. They have already seen him, seen Peter, coming back empty-handed. And what's more, I'm sure that Peter said, what does Jesus knows about fishing? It's like when we said, well, I had to solve this problem myself. What does Jesus knows about computer or about this or about the other? So Peter speaks in verse 5. Remember in Luke 5, verse 5, Peter speaks. Master, he said, Master, listen carefully. We work hard. That's toil the whole night. That's the translation will be. We work hard all night trying to catch fish. Now, I want you to pay attention to these words. They are very important. He said, number one, we work hard. We scrape the hull of the boat. We carry the net. We pull the oars, throwing the net high in the moonlight and over the sky like they do, the fishermen. Listening as they slap on the surface of the water and pulling the rope back. And we work all night. Look at verse 7. We work all night. The sky has gone from burnt orange to midnight black and to the morning gold. We have worked the whole night, said Peter. The hour had passed as slowly as the fleets of clouds before the moon. The fishermen's conversation had steel and their shoulders are ache of so much throwing and pulling. While the people in the village are sleeping, the men work the whole night long. Do you hear me, Jesus? We work the whole night long. And you know what we did, Jesus? We're trying to catch fish. The night event had been rhythmic. Net swung and toes. Swung and toes and pulled. Over and over and over. For 12 hours, that's what a night is in Hebrew. For 12 hours, they have fish. And now Jesus wants to go fishing some more. And not just offshore. Do you saw that, what the verse said? Let's go to the deep, Jesus said. Peter looked to his friend. I'm very sure that Peter turned around and looked to John and said, look at this guy. Do you hear what this guy said? He wanted to go fishing to the deep during the day. Look at the sun is coming up, the fish going down. Look at these guys. A little off. So he looked at the people on the beach watching. Everybody's hearing this. He doesn't know what to do. And Jesus may know a lot about a lot of things, but Peter knows about fishing. I know fishing. It's like we do sometimes. I know my life. I know the Lord knows everything, but I know my life. I can do anything I want to because I know my business, we say. Thinking that Jesus doesn't know. Peter knows when to work and when to quit. He knows there is a time to go and there is a time to get out of the business. Common sense said it was time to go out. And logic said, cut your losses and go home. Experience said, pack it up and get some rest, friend. Stop it. But Jesus said, Peter, can we try it again? Peter, can we try again if you want to? The most difficult journey is back to the place where you fail. Is that right? That is the most difficult journey in life. Back to the place where you fail. Only one time I failed in school, in physics. I was 20 years old, and I failed badly. And I had to study again for 6 months and go to the board of examination, the same board that put a 60 on me. I had to show them that I know the subject. That was very hard. To me, it was devastating. The most difficult journey is back to the place where you fail. Jesus knows that. That's why he volunteered to go alone. This time, the boat will have John and James and Peter, but also will have Jesus. Now, I'm very sure that Peter reluctantly agrees to try again. And verse 5 said, but you say to put the nets in the water, so because you say it, so I will. Now Peter got the idea. Because you say it, Jesus, I will do it. Now he got the idea. It didn't make any sense, but he had been around this Nazarene enough to know that his presence made a difference. Remember the wedding of Cana? Peter was there. The sick child of the royal ruler? Peter was there. It's as if Jesus carried his own deck on the table. So they go deep again and the boat goes out. The anchor is set and the nets fly once more. Peter catches and watches as the net sink, and he waits. He waits until the net is spread as far as the ropes allows. The fishermen are quiet. Peter is quiet. Jesus is quietly. Suddenly, the rope yanks. The net, heavy with fish, almost pulls Peter overboard. And I'm sure that Peter looked around and said, John, James, look at this. Soon the boat are so full of fish that the port side rim dips close to the surface. And Peter, ankle deep in flopping silver, turns to look at Jesus only to find that Jesus is looking to him. Now that's Luke 5. That's when he realized who Jesus is. May I read for you Luke 5 and verse 7 and verse 8 so you get an idea who is this Jesus. So they signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon, verse 8 and Luke 5, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For now Peter realized, it's God in front of me. Don't you think it's an odd place to meet God? In a boat filled of fish and you are with a leg like this and fish are jumping all around you. All full of fish. You know, fish do not die right away. They're jumping.
And they're jumping all around, and they say, "You're God, you're God." And he, what a wild praise to meet God. I thought, I'm trying to visualize this. He had turned his back on the sea to follow the Messiah. Now, John 21. Peter remembered what happened in Luke 5, 3 years ago. John 21. Peter's life was never a game after such an experience of that catch. He knows that with Jesus, you can do anything you want to. He knows during the daytime, at all the time, when everything's supposed to be quiet, he got what he never got in his life. With Jesus makes a difference. He knows that. But nevertheless, he failed. Don't you know a lot of things of the scripture? Yesterday, I met a man who knew a lot of things of the scripture, but he didn't know the Lord. He went through the scripture with me all over, and suddenly it rings in my life. Raquel asked him the question, "But do you know Jesus?" He said, "No." I said, "Why don't you start with Jesus?" He said, "I can't." "Yes, you can." Amazing. In John 21, Peter's life, remember, is never the same. He had turned his back on the sea to follow the Messiah. He had left the boat thinking he had never going to return to that. But now in John 21, he is back to the boat. The Bible said in John chapter 21 and verse 2, Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. In verse 3, Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." Now, from Luke 5 until now, he never went back to the Sea of Galilee. You never see Peter saying, "I'm going fishing," but because he failed. See, in the Sea of Galilee, on Luke 5, there was no failure. That was the first time he met Jesus. That was the time of his conversion. But then now here in Luke 21, the same scenario, the same lake, the same Peter and the same Jesus. And he said, I'm going fishing. Three years of living with the Messiah have changed him. He is seeing too much, too many walking cripples, vacant graves, too many hours hearing his word. He is not the same Peter. It is the same Galilee, but a different fisherman. That's what you will understand what happened. Why, I ask myself, why did he return to the lake? Come on, Peter. You know that Jesus forgives. What brought him back to Galilee after the crucifixion? I read a commentary who said despair. I don't believe that. I think it's hope. I think it's hope. A bizarre hope that on the sea where he knew him first, he will know him again. Perhaps in the stress of his failure, he'll remember that he met the Lord on the Sea of Galilee between fishes. And so he perhaps, he returns over there to see if he can see the Lord again. So Peter is in the boat on the lake. Once again, he's fishing all night, and once again, the sea has surrendered nothing. You heard our brother reading the scripture from verses 1 to 11. His thoughts are interrupted by a shot from the shore. Look at chapter 21 of John, and in verse 5, Jesus said, "Children, have you any food? Have you caught any fish, boys?" is the question. And Peter and John look up. Probably he said there's one of the guys here in the village, and they say, "No." And the voice said, "Try the other side." And John looks at Peter. What harm will be? Let's try. And so out is the net on the top of their head, swing on the air, throwing on the fish on the lake. There is no weight. The rope pulls taut, and the net really catches. Peter set his weight again the side of the boat and began to bring the net in, all the way in, reaching down and pulling up, reaching down and pulling up. He is so intense with the task, he misses the message from the shore. John doesn't. Oh boy, that John knew Jesus. The moment in French will be déjà vu. This is a spectacular. This is a spectacular what is going to happen. This has happened before, remember? In Luke chapter 5. The long night, the empty net, the call to cast again, fish flapping on the floor of the boat. Wait a minute, said John. Wait a minute. He lifted up his eyes, and now we go to John 21 and verse 7. John is thinking, wait a minute. Do you remember Luke chapter 5? Do you remember when we went in the lake and we catch nothing? And this is the same. We work the whole night and we catch nothing. Wait a minute, think for a moment. It is Jesus, he said. See, he put two and two together. This is the same story. It is Jesus. And if I was Peter, I'd run to the other side of the lake. He had denied Jesus three times. It is Jesus. It is the Lord, Peter. It is the Lord. And Peter turns and look, Jesus have come. Jesus have come. Actually, I think that's what he wanted. That's why he went to the lake. He wanted to meet Jesus alone. Not just Jesus the teacher, but Jesus the victor over darkness. Jesus, the God of heaven and earth, is on the shore and he's building a fire. Remember what our brother read? He's building a fire. Peter plunges into the water, swims to the shore, and stumbles out wet and shivering, and stands in front of his friend that he betrayed. Can you picture that? Here is the holy God of heaven, and here is a man who has betrayed that God three times, and they stand together. And Jesus has prepared a bed of coals. Both are aware the last time Peter had stood near the fire. The same story. And Peter had failed God, but God had not failed Peter. That's the story. Peter had failed God, but God will not fail you. Wow. For one of the few times in life, Peter is silent. You read the gospel, and always, who's the speaker? Peter. Pa, 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 pa. He looks Spanish. He talks all the time. What words will suffice? The moment is too holy for words. God is offering a breakfast to a friend who betrayed him. Can you hear me? God is offering a breakfast to a friend who betrayed God. And Peter is once again finding what we call in theology grace at Calvary. Grace at Galilee. What do you say in a moment like that? Suppose that you were Peter and you are standing before a holy God, knowing that you have failed. What do you say? What do you say at a moment such as this? It is just you and God. You and God both know what you did, and neither one of you is proud of it. What do you do? You might consider doing what Peter did. Stand in God's presence. Stand in his sight. Stand still and wait. Sometimes that's all we can do. He stand amazed. He has come back. And you know the story of John 21. Jesus invited Peter to try again but now with him. May I invite you today, if you have failed, if you have let God down in your life, search your heart. Have you done the work alone? Come back and try it again with Jesus. The message is very clear. When you let God down, come back to him. Stay in silence and try again with Jesus. That's what I believe, that all marriage can be repaired if people are believers. You know that? All marriage can be repaired if people are believers. The only thing they have to do is to stand for a moment in silence, look into each other, and invite Jesus to come into their life, to control their life, to direct their life, to control all the thoughts and directions and decisions of their life. And then will work. I believe, young people, that if you have failed, you don't give up. You don't have to go into drugs and into the gutters. You stand before your God and say, God, come with me. Invite him in and go with him. That's the only way you can do. My God will not reject you. My God will not throw you away. If he didn't throw Peter away, who denied him face to face, imagine you and I. My friend, we try to do things in our own way. We try to build a church in our own way. We try to build our home in our own way. We're trying to do a school in our own way. We try to do everything in our own way. Don't do it alone. Do it with him, and you will catch fish regardless of the hour of the day. Thank you, Father. You are so loving. They have taught us a lesson that your loving kindness and your great love for our life is greater than our failure. Lord, encourage your people to try it again, this time with Jesus. Will make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cheers.